You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. And welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It was a very, very busy end of the week last week and a busy weekend of news. If you've been listening to this program for a while, you know that I am both a lawyer and an economist. And for a long time, as a baby lawyer, I worked for a very large, very fancy law firm in New York City. And many of our clients were banks, our country, the world's largest financial institutions. And what I can tell you about some of our world's largest financial institutions is that they're pretty good at analysis, at analyzing markets, at analyzing industries, at analyzing very specific companies. They do it, and they're very good at it, because that's how they make money. And what I've been thinking about a lot in recent weeks is the fact that almost uniformly, every week, a literal parade of Donald Trump lackeys will get on national news programs, whether that's on CNBC, Newsmax, Fox, MSNBC, or one of the Sunday news magazine programs, and lie about the economy. And they'll not only lie about it, what they'll say is, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Everyone else is mistrustful. But when you look at the incentives behind the people saying, believe me, but not these other folks, whether that's Donald Trump himself or his Commerce Secretary Howard Ludnick, the Nudnick, or Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, the incentives here should tell you who is more believable. Here are the incentives. Businesses and Wall Street and banks and financial institutions, they have every incentive to get their analysis correct, to make sure that their data that they crunch and the numbers, that all of that is right. Why? Because that's how they make their money. Chief executive officers, they have earnings calls every quarter, and they have every incentive to get it right, to not underplay risks or threats, but not to overplay them either. And why is this for a publicly traded company so important? Because if they are unreliable, shareholders won't buy their stock will tank, they won't get their golden parachutes, and they'll get fired. Their performance, for better or worse, is often measured by stock performance. And stock performance never can recover if a CEO is a notorious liar on earnings calls. So again, you look at the entire financial industry establishment. Whether you're talking about the CEOs that run quarterly earnings calls for a country's largest publicly traded corporations, or you're talking about the banks that are responsible for analyzing the performance of those very companies to help direct both their investments and their customers' investments. And that can even be extended to the folks that run our country and the world's largest hedge funds, folks like Ray Dalio. But Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, and Howard Ludnick, the Nudnick, Commerce Secretary, and Donald Trump, their incentives are purely political. Their incentive is to convince the American public that what they're experiencing in their daily lives, that housing remains unaffordable, that groceries continue to get more expensive, that the price of gas isn't coming down, that their kids' education, they're not sure if they'll actually be able to be gainfully employed in their particular industries or markets, or whether the kids will do better than them. These people get on national television every week and lie about it because their incentive structure has no fidelity to the truth. As an economist, I often will encourage folks to look where the incentive lies, and you will be able to determine behavior. So, when we look at what is being said by members of the Trump administration, their incentive structure is entirely political. If data does not fit their political objective, they have every incentive to lie. Whereas our country's largest financial institutions, banks, hedge funds, and yes, CEOs of businesses, when they talk about their performance, when they talk about their earnings, when they talk about whether or not particular economic policies are helping or hurting them, they don't get rewarded at all for lying. They lose jobs. They don't get rewarded for glossing the numbers or trying to pull one over on regular Americans, other than, you know, capturing all the benefit of those that do all the work. So they have every incentive to get it right, to do good analysis and tell the truth, because their very jobs and the success of their companies and their banks depend on it. And so with all of that as preview and prequel, I want to talk about Scott Bessent's interview with Kristen Welker just yesterday on Meet the Press. Because the lies that this man is telling are so grossly irresponsible. And when they are put in contrast with the truths that are being told by CEOs and by our country's largest financial institution, they are revealed for what they are. Nothing but imagined political rhetoric that amounts to a lie. So let us begin. Kristen Welker specifically asked Scott Bessent, Donald Trump's handpicked Treasury Secretary, about the reportings in this last quarter from John Deere, an equipment manufacturer essential to Wisconsin farming and agriculture and American farming and agriculture, about how it was performing. Let's take a listen to the exchange between NBC's Kristen Welker and Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent just yesterday.
The New York Times wrote this about John Deere, the impact that tariffs are having on that company. Quote, last month, John Deere said net income in its most recent quarter was down 29% from a year earlier. Higher tariffs have cost the company $300 million so far, with nearly another $300 million expected by the end of the year. This summer, the company laid off 238 employees across factories in Illinois and Iowa. What do you say to companies like John Deere who say these tariffs are hurting them?
Well, first of all, Kristen, if you're quoting the New York Times, that's not a fair observer. And two, that...
But these are statistics.
This is about John Deere, not about the New York Times. That's one company that they have cherry-picked. At Treasury, we have about two management teams come through a day, and overwhelmingly, we are hearing from companies they plan to increase CapEx, they plan to increase employment. We are seeing a record amount, what's going to be a record amount of foreign direct investment. And for every John Deere, we have companies who are telling us the tariffs have helped our business, we're increasing CapEx, and we're going to increase employment.
Again, what are the incentives here? Direct investment, that's foreign money coming in to invest in the companies. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for regular American workers, but okay, Scott, CapEx, that's capital expenditures and employment. Well, he's making promises about something that might happen in the future. Do you think the people that are being invited, I don't know, you know, cherry-picked to come through the Treasury Department might perceive that truth-telling to Scott Bessent, Ludnick, the Nudnik, and Donald Trump might be met with threats to fire you, like the CEO of Intel got threatened by Donald Trump? That targeted enforcement actions might happen if you don't go along with literally the party line on this? So What did he say in response to John Deere says they fired 238 people? They're going to lose close to $1 billion this year. His response was, I don't believe it. And even if I did, I just don't think it's relevant. Tell that to the 238 Iowans and Illinoisans who lost their jobs. Tell it to the farmers who can't buy the farm equipment that they want because the prices continue to explode. Tell that to the farmer that then doesn't have that piece of equipment or can't access the part to repair the John Deere equipment he already has because the prices are exploding because of the Donald Trump tariffs when he can't harvest the crops that he's planted that he now can't sell to China because he grows soybeans, which are now being re-tariffed, you know, in a trade war by China, and they've reestablished a relationship with soybean farmers in Brazil and other countries in South America. A farmer who next year won't be able to sell those same soybeans because, again, once that customer relationship is lost, it does not come back, who then loses his farm. But Scott Bessent says the New York Times is not a fair observer, and other people that come into my office are telling me different things. So then Kristen Welker asked him about some different data. We don't have time for that entire cut before we have to take care of some business here on this program. But I'm going to give that sound to you when we come back, because Kristen Welker, yesterday with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, pushed him on actual data, actual reports from our country's top line CEOs, our country's largest publicly traded corporation, and our country's largest financial institutions, all of whom are saying this isn't working, that Donald Trump's tariff terror with no conceivable objective, no end in sight, no point other than the leveraging of power simply to leverage power. All of this is hurting businesses, and it's hurting consumers. And Scott Bessent and Ludnick the Nudnick and Donald Trump will continue to lie about it. Why? Because their incentive isn't to get it right. Their incentive is to make it work for Donald Trump's political ambitions. And those two things, when at odds, there's only one objective that they will ever give any fidelity to, right? If the data doesn't support Donald Trump's political ambitions, what level of confidence do you have? Honestly, if we're all being very candid here, what confidence level do you have that anyone in Donald Trump's nearest orbit, in his cabinet, would tell him that the data, that the facts on the ground, simply do not support the political argument that he's trying to make? My confidence level is zero, and we continue to explore why when it comes to the health of your family's bank account and the well-being of your children's financial futures. We continue this discussion on the other side. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I believe in good, sound data analysis that is objective, not predetermined, that I know that government agency data analysis needs to be the best in the world, that we shouldn't be litmus testing or testing folks that do data analysis on behalf of our country for political loyalty tests. That doesn't work. It doesn't help for good policy. And most importantly, I believe that people that advise presidents or mayors or county executives or governors, that they have an obligation to tell that elected official the truth about things, even when the facts, the data, the truth of the matter might be politically challenging. And the thing that scares me the most is that I don't think Donald Trump has anyone around him that is remotely courageous enough to tell him the truth. And the particular truth is this. Donald Trump's economic policies are failing. And we have yet to even begin to see the impact of those policies. Companies for the last 8-9 months have been trying to absorb the impact of tariffs, to not pass those along to customers, to do as much accounting and bookkeeping mechanics and movements as they can to not pass those costs on to customers so they don't lose their customers, so they don't alienate the people that buy their products. But companies' abilities to do that, including Walmart, I dissected one of their earnings call just a couple weeks ago with economist Benga Angelore. From Walmart to John Deere, from Nike to Apple and others, they're all saying it's about to get worse, not better. And despite that, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent got on Meet the Press yesterday and just lied his butt off for about 30 minutes. First, NBC journalist Kristen Welker tried to ask him about what John Deere said, which was, we're going to lose probably northward of $600 million because of the tariffs, and we've laid off 238 employees. Scott Bessent's response was, well, I'm hearing different things, and the New York Times shouldn't be trusted. And then Kristen Welker said, it's not about the Times, it's about John Deere, and besides, beyond John Deere, many companies are very deeply concerned about the economic stagnation we're seeing. Donald Trump fired the last woman who put out a jobs report who led the Bureau of Labor Statistics in July. And yet the August jobs report was worse than the one in July, but he's got nobody to fire anymore, so how does he complain about that? Let's take a listen to this next exchange between Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and NBC journalist Kristen Welker yesterday on Meet the Press. Listen to how Scott Bessent dodges these questions and then blames everybody but the guy that's setting our country's economic policy. Take a listen.
But Mr. Secretary, it's not just John Deere. We've heard from a lot of different companies around the country. Nike says that tariffs will cost the company around $1 billion this year. Black & Decker says $800 million. The big three automakers all say they've had to pay more than $2 billion in tariffs. The list goes on and on. Bottom line, do you acknowledge that these tariffs amount to a tax on the American people?
Well, first of all, let's back up, because what we've seen, for instance, the Japanese automakers have said they're eating the tariffs. So,
but these companies say they're eating the tariffs.
They're eating the tariffs. So, and again, there are numerous companies who are doing the opposite. You know, you're taking these from earnings calls, and on earnings calls, they have to give the draconian scenario. There aren't companies coming out and saying, oh, because of the tariffs, we're doing this.
That is just nonsense. His response to American companies are saying they're losing billions and billions of dollars, which means, by the way, to staunch that bleed, they're just going to have to charge their customers more if they haven't already. That's what all of this means. His response is, well, the Japanese companies, they're just eating the That has nothing to do with the point that she's trying to make. And then he says on earnings calls, they, apparently these companies, have to give the draconian scenario. No, and Scott Bessent knows this. An earnings call is where a CEO wants to be very clear in a publicly traded company. They don't want to give any inaccurate information because what? That's a securities violation. Their objective in an earnings call is to present an accurate picture of their company's financial health and their prospects in coming quarters. It's to inform shareholders in the market. And if they're facing headwinds, i.e. negatives, problems, they're going to be candid about it, as well as the mechanisms that that company has to deal with things like the terror of tariff policy with no articulated objective end state and no idea when they might end or under what circumstances or if it'll flip-flop tomorrow. That's not the incentive structure on an earnings call. It's not to be all doom and gloom. In fact, most CEOs work mightily to show upside potential in their companies during earnings calls. Why? Because the markets are listening. And if they said, as Scott Bessent would have regular Americans believe, that it's just having to give the draconian scenario, what they'd be saying to the marketplace is start selling our stock. Our company is doomed. And CEO pay is tied to stock performance. So guess what they're not doing? Quote, going with the draconian scenario. It's not good for the CEO, and it would result to a sell-off in their stock. Scott Bessent used to run a hedge fund, and he damn well knows this. So what he's doing is lying to the American people. We've dissected earnings call on this show. We're going to dissect more of Scott Bessent's, the Treasury Secretary's, nonsense on the other side. And then I'm going to show you how this all relates up, again, to your family's financial health, and indeed, your family's physical well-being as well. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. Hang with us through the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back and finish up this important discussion on the other side. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is time for you to be able to sound off. I've been talking about an absolutely mind-blowing interview yesterday between Kristen Welker on NBC's Meet the Press and Donald J. Trump's Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent. In it, Kristen Welker repeatedly provides Scott Bessent with very specific data and statistics about the economy slowing down, about businesses losing billions due to Donald Trump's incoherent, indefensible economic policies. And repeatedly, Scott Bessent's response is basically, I'm hearing different things. Does this sound familiar to anybody? People are saying, without naming the people or the statistic or the reliable economist who provides different analysis. There's simply no there in every rebuttal from Treasury Secretary Bessent. Just to refresh our recollections, she first brings up John Deere. And Scott Bessent says, for every John Deere, we have companies who are telling us the tariffs have helped our businesses. Again, without naming any names. Then she says, but it's not just John Deere that's going to lose $600 million and has fired 238 employees. It's Nike. It's Black & Decker. It's our three automakers, all of whom are reporting billion-dollar-plus losses due to Trump's taco tariff regime. And you know what he says? Well, on those earnings calls, they're just all doom and gloom. It's this draconian scenario. Again, folks, if CEOs lie on earnings calls, it's a securities violation. It can be a crime. CEOs on earnings calls are not incentivized to be like, oh, our business sucks. We're going under. It's very draconian. It's doom and gloom because people will start selling their stock, and that's not good for companies. And then we get to maybe one of the oddest rebuttals from Treasury Secretary Bessent to Kristen Welker's very specific citation of an analysis performed by Goldman Sachs, arguably the world's biggest, the United States' biggest, maybe most reliable bank analysis of the overall market and economy. And the Goldman report said that consumers had paid 86% of tariff revenues, and that will continue to grow throughout the rest of the year as businesses run out of creative ways to eat the early cost of the tariffs. And Scott Bessent had nothing really to say. It's weird, folks. Take a listen.
Hasbro says they're going to have to increase their prices. Goldman Sachs says 86% of the tariff revenue collected so far has been paid by American businesses and consumers. So just bottom line, Mr. Secretary, do you acknowledge that these tariffs are a tax on American consumers?
No, I don't.
even though you have companies saying they are going to have to increase prices, and given the fact that 86% of these tariffs so far have been paid by Americans.
You're quoting Goldman Sachs.
So yes, Goldman Sachs, correct.
I made a good career trading against Goldman Sachs.
Okay, Mr. Secretary, so maybe it's not 86%. Maybe it's 40%. Maybe it's 45%. Maybe it's 15%. But what the hell does your trading record against Goldman Sachs have to do with whether or not customers are paying for Donald Trump's tariff terror? Nothing. His rebuttals to all of these statistics were, again, in order, well, that's not what some companies are telling us. And then, oh, they're just making it seem worse than it is, even though CEOs have absolutely no reason to do that in earnings calls. And then finally, well, I used to trade against them. All of which have literally are either completely inaccurate, total lies, misleading, or just totally irrelevant. And then, ladies and gentlemen, and then the inevitable. Just trust us. Take a listen.
The markets lost more than $6 trillion in value. Was this disruption always part of the plan, Mr. Secretary?
Look, Chris, markets are organic, the animals, and you never know what the reaction's going to be. One thing that I can tell you as the Treasury Secretary, what I've been very impressed with is the market infrastructure, that we had record volume on Friday, and everything is working very smoothly, so the American people, take great comfort in that.
Wow. Just trust us. By the way, we were seeing great trading volumes. Yeah, you had great trading volumes on Black Tuesday and other days when the market completely crashed. Tons of trading volumes where the trading volumes processed correctly, quickly and, quote, smoothly. Yeah, but the economy was still in free fall, you moron. Doesn't mean that we should take comfort in trading volumes or the fact that trades got processed smoothly. Does he think that the American working person who gets a paycheck, who has to try to save diligently for retirement, does he think we're all idiots? Does he think you're a moron? Because only somebody who thinks you're a moron would think that I've heard something from someone else that's somewhat different. They just say bad news. I used to trade against them and just trust us is a meaningful, substantive defense of this president's non-existent economic policy. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. CJ, my friend, I'm going to give you an uninterrupted 30 seconds because you always complain that I interrupt you. So 30 seconds. Setting, and I know that you're going to take issue with some of my characterizations, but I just want to start, if you can address CJ first, this problem with Scott Bessent on Meet the Press. He didn't answer anything. He didn't provide any detail. He didn't really respond to what we're seeing from some major companies, which is warning signs flashing.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Good to see you this weekend with a
you
bunch
too,
of
sir.
Your listeners, John and Gordy. Well, inflation happened 22%, and that's due to the Board of Statistics. 22% inflation under Joe Biden. Then the interest rates flew to what? The only way to reduce inflation is by raising interest rates, right? Well, Biden had to do that. Jerome Powell, if anybody's playing politics, even other board members from the Fed, Michelle Bowman and Christopher Waller said we should have lowered interest rates 2 months ago because that's going to be a driving force in our economy. So what are interest rates? Have you ever tried to buy a home or a condo or buy anything right now? Well, the interest rates are high because of Joe Biden. And the promise for companies that he wanted to raise corporate taxes, campaigned on it, from 21% to 27%. What do you think that would do to the jobs? Well,
so I have a question. We can talk, and I think, you know, it's important to look at each of these items individually. I spend a lot of time talking about corporate tax rates. I spend a lot of time talking about actual minimum wage, what a surviving wage is, how to approach those things. But I just want to talk about the quality of Treasury Secretary Bessent's appearance. Do you think that his appearance on Meet the Press would allay any reasonable Americans' concerns or any investors' concerns about how our companies are performing and whether or not consumers are seeing the impact of tariffs and the prices that they pay for everyday goods? I just don't think he did. If his objective was to calm the markets, calm customers, calm consumers, I don't think what he did does that at all. I think it shows a woeful lack of understanding about how Donald Trump's economic policies are impacting regular people. You can say Biden was worse, but I'm just saying right now, Scott Bessent isn't successful in defending Donald Trump's economic policy. He looks like someone who doesn't know anything about much of anything at all.
You got to give reasons for companies to come here, and you got to make it competitive. That's exactly what Donald Trump is doing.
No, he's not. What we're hearing from, again, these are the statistics from Kristen Welker. Thanks so much, CJ. Gave you a ton of time. I appreciate you calling in. Good to see you, friend, this weekend at a listener appreciation event hosted by WMDX. Kristen Welker, these are companies that are here, that have manufacturing here. They don't need to be brought here. They're already here. And Donald Trump's economic policies are costing them billions, which they're saying they're going to now pass those increase in costs on to U.S. customers. Black & Decker, America's big three automakers, Nike, John Deere, all of these companies. Home Depot is reported similarly. Goldman Sachs, Hasbro, a toy company. I mean, pick your thing. Any consumer good, it's costing more than it did before. And frankly, when the Fed starts bringing down interest rates because the economy is completely stalled and we're no longer adding any jobs, and the Fed is rightly worried about an economy who's had the brakes applied, you know, that's not a good situation to be in, that interest rates are coming down because employers are no longer hiring people. That's a terrible situation to be in for the U.S. economy. Thanks so much, CJ, and thanks so much to everybody for the feedback on the text line. I just want to highlight a couple of things, a couple of feedback we've got. Jim from Appleton says this: I find it strange that Scooter, i.e. Scott Bessent, can't name a single company that says they're doing great as a result of the tariffs. It's just a bunch of not what I'm hearing, and other companies say different. Who? What companies are saying that? Put some stuff on the bones. Put some meat on the bones. Name names. I agree with you, Jim. I think this is really weak. This is not how you make the working person in the United States who's struggling to make ends meet feel any more confident about our economy. Mark from Prairie du Sac said this: Bessent, like so many, is auditioning for the governor's role in a new version of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. What he's talking about is one of the new Fed governor appointments that may become available. Those are typically tenure appointments unless you invent totally spurious bases with which to fire people like Donald Trump did with Lisa Cook and call that cause, even though Ken Paxton, apparently the guy who's been sounding the alarm on all of these claims of mortgage fraud, the very person that's been making those claims, half of his family, it appears, also have mortgages on more than one building that they claim as primary residences. Weird, huh? How that works. When we come back, I am going to turn the page and talk a little bit about Packers football and some of my mixed feelings that I've got going into this football season as an old has-been athlete fast approaching, if not in, middle age. Keep it locked. Talk a little local sports when we come back on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have some absolutely outstanding interviews coming up this week and next for you. And we kick off this big, big run of some real marquee interviews with an interview tomorrow. We will be hosting Stacey Abrams, the one and the only Stacey Abrams, tomorrow evening live at 5:30. You are not going to want to miss this interview. We talk about her new book, her appearance at Idea Fest here in Madison in the state of Wisconsin. She's going to be in our state providing remarks. We're going to talk about all of that and how do we actually build a coalition of good faith Americans and Wisconsinites that agree on the outcomes that we want to see, which is, very simply put, for every family, good education, safe streets, and meaningful work that allows you to be paid a wage that enables you to take care of your family and yourself, afford health care, maybe even a vacation, to retire with some dignity. You know, that we observe the social contract. If you're willing to work hard, at least 40 or 50, whatever we say, hours a week, you should be able to live in dignity in this country. We're going to talk with Stacey about how to make that come true and how to help voters get reengaged and find the things that we have in common with each other to advocate for the policies that actually help working folks and people that have bosses and get paychecks and don't just sit around getting wealthy off their wealth that they may have inherited. You get what I'm saying. So Stacey, tomorrow, 5:30, be there or be square. I cannot wait. I am nervous as well about it. So again, that's tomorrow at 5:30. Really excited about that. Wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about Wisconsin sports. Big, big weekend for everybody. Feeling really good. Brewers completing a sweep against the Pittsburgh Pirates with Jacob Mizorowski being absolutely dominant yesterday, gritted it through seven innings, a career high, 108 pitches in a dominant 10-2 victory over the Pirates. The magic number for the Brewers to guarantee that they will win and clinch the National League Central is 12 games, whether it's other teams losing like the Cubs or the Brewers winning. We got to get 12 games to clinch the National League Central. The magic number to get to the first round bye is basically 12 and maybe plus minus a little bit, but we've got to clinch the NL Central first. And to get that bye, we've got to end up with a better record than the LA Dodgers. We are 34 games above 500 at 89 wins and 55 losses, 7.5 games in front of the dastardly Chicago Cubs. So watch this space. It's going to be a really exciting closeout to the baseball season. And with that, let's talk a bit about the Packers. Big home opener at Lambeau against the Lions. We hadn't had a home opener in Lambeau since 2008, meaning first game of the season at home since 2018, excuse me, not 2008. And it's only the third time in the last 13 seasons where we faced the Detroit Lions in our opener. So big, big outing. The big two questions on my mind was, how is Jordan Love going to do under the bright lights and all the pressure? And how is Micah Parsons going to do? We just made a massive trade with the Dallas Cowboys right before the season began. And the answer to that is they did extremely well. I think a lot of good things for the Packers to be really excited about after yesterday's game. They're going to play the Commanders. Quick turnaround. They got a Thursday night football game against the Washington Commanders at 7:15. And I'm going to talk more about this issue later this week, if not early next. And that is really taking a clear-eyed view of what we are endorsing and the complexity of endorsing, whether through buying a jersey or going to a game or just watching NFL football. Because, again, many of you have been listening to this show. You know that I played rugby for years My team won a national championship when I was in college, Marquette University in 1997. And what I can tell you is that some of the women that I played with that went on to have long rugby careers who were that good, I'm now in my late 40s. Some of them are experiencing pretty significant cognitive issues. And this season, I don't know why, but it was challenging for me, because I know most professional football players would say it's worth whatever the consequence for my brain and my body might be for me to play this sport that I love so much and to potentially make caboodles of money doing it. But we are basically paying through our eyeballs and the advertising dollars that the NFL creates, we are deciding that we are going to, through our fandom, pay men to turn their brains and their bodies into mush for our entertainment. And if blood sport at any level sort of strikes us as a little odd and maybe not where we think we should be, this is just blood sport at a very long and slow, drawn-out pace. I've been doing a little digging on some of the numbers behind all of that, and I'm going to present those to you in the coming weeks as we dig into this football season. But it is complicated. And as most things on this program, we always try to get into those complicated elements of these issues. Thanks for being with me today. I'll be back tomorrow with that amazing Stacey Adams. Stacey Adams. Abrams. Brain is turning off early. Stacey Abrams interview at 5:30 tomorrow. Thanks to Jacob for that help out. Thanks to all of you for being with me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.